Our Father, we want to thank you for your grace that has brought us to the last day of this meeting. Thank you for thus far you have helped us. Thank you, Lord, even for this closing charge. We ask that you will send us forth. We ask that you will mobilize us. We ask for your grace to set us in motion in the name of Jesus. Please, Lord, we ask that you will send your word to our hearts and help us to understand what you'll be saying to us this morning, that at the end, your name will be glorified. Thank you, Ancient of Days, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Isaiah 40:41. Isaiah 41 from verse 14. "Fear not, thou warm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the wild wind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel." Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Understanding the process and the purpose being shaped and sharpened. Understanding the process and the purpose of being shaped and sharpened. Our team says, shaped and sharpened for God's use. First, we're going to be looking at the process of shaping and sharpening before we begin to look at the purpose . I believe that God has done a work in our lives in this meeting. But what he has done to me is an introduction of what he wants to do. Is in the beginning of what he wants to do. Please pay attention. This is closing church and it's very crucial. What is the process of this shaping and sharpening? I want to inform us that there is a place of shaping. There is a place of sharpening. God came to Jeremiah. And he said, go to the potter's house and there I will cause you to hear my word. Excuse me. Why did he send him to the potter's house? Why did he send him to the potter's house? He gave a reason. Say, dear, I will cause my word to do what? I will cause you to hear my word, Abby. But why the potter's house? Which word did he cause Jeremiah to hear? He wanted Jeremiah to see that he has the rights of ownership over them. But he wanted him to get that message through the work of who? A potter. And it was at the time that Jeremiah was arriving that the potter was walking on his wheels. And the vessel that he was making marred in his hands. And he turned it into another vessel. And God said, can't look at what this potter has done. Can't I relate with you in this same manner, O Israel? But you see, my concern is that when God wanted to use the process of
molding to pass across a message. He did not send the prophet to the markets. Why? At the market, he will not find what? He will not find clay. Oh, praise the Lord. Follow me small, small. At the market, he will not see a potter who is walking on his wheels. What you meet at the market are which people? Businessmen, traders. I'm dealing with the process of being shaped and sharpened. If you are looking for clay that is ready for work, you go to the potter's house. If you want to make a vessel, where do you go to? Eh? That is where the wheels are. And let me inform us that where it concerns the matter of shaping men for God's use, God has a place called Potter's House, where he molds men that he uses. And I would like to introduce that place because it's very important. All the men that he ever made, they passed through that place. When you meet a vessel in the markets, I'm sure you are not thinking that the vessel was made in the markets. Hello? You saw clay pot, very neat, very clean. I hope you know it was not made in the markets. It was made at where? Potter's house. And when he finished, what did he do? He transported it to the market for sale. Market is like showroom where vessels that were made at the potter's house are being what? Presented for sale. I know you want to be shaped and to be sharpened. You know, the mistake we can make is to promise you and encourage you that you're already shaped and you're already sharpened. That is not the whole truth. As far as I'm concerned, if God, which I know that he has already succeeded, as far as this meeting is concerned, is to advertise and introduce the potter's house to you. In other words, the matter, the real matter of shaping and sharpening will begin after this meeting. As we return from here, some will go to the potter's house to be shaped and to be sharpened. Others will ignore the potter's house and they will remain materials that will never become vessels. Where is this potter's house? Can I introduce it? It's very simple. It's called discipleship. Discipleship is the potter's house. Where God sits on men until the vessel is looking for emerges. Any man ehoro, God they use, maybe somewhere there's a stage somewhere, a platform somewhere where God placed that person, and you are looking at him or her, admiring him or her. Can I inform you, there was a potter's house where he was molded. And God is introducing this potter's house as closing charge. Why? Because he also is saying to you, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will shape your life and I will sharpen you. Discipleship is not just, is not another fellowship. It's not another ministry. It's a place of shaping and sharpening. I know that many run away from discipleship. Why some did not come to this meeting is because they believe is a program for disciples, those disciple people or discipleship people. But why are they afraid? They are afraid because a man cannot be shaped into God's desired shape without losing his shape. The first implication of conforming to the potter's desired shape is that you will lose your shape. And I'm sure that many are not willing to lose their shape, even though their shape is not a shape before God. There is a place of formation. Some of us, you know, came in contact with that place where we were already general overseer. Some of us finished Bible school before we came in contact with the information of God's place of formation. We had already gotten certificates, degrees or certificates in theology. We already, you know, to a level, masters in theology, in study about God, before we were introduced to the study of God. We had already gotten certificates in the knowledge about Jesus before we got the information of where to get the knowledge of Jesus. May God grant you understanding in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's every tendency for you to jump up and say, thank God for this meeting. I've been shaped. I've been sharpened. It's not true. What I have seen God do in this meeting, he has advertised a need. And that's why he's showing us where to get that need met. that there is a place that God is saying, as you are rising from here, arise and go down to the potter's house. Listen, I want to touch the word down. Anytime any man is going to the potter's house, it will always appear as if he is going down. When I took a decision and made up my mind to go to the potter's house, my friends, even my in-laws, they thought I was going down. Why should someone who already have pastors, whom you have to meet before you meet me in my main office, why should you close such work down? And it's not that it's not moving, no, it's moving. Moving in quotes. Why should you close it down to go and be using jerrycan to go and fetch water? One of the days when I was going for, you know, job for counseling, and I entered into the office of the brother that God had used to help my own life, I saw that the brethren that were in office then, they served him food with plastic plates. I was not happy. I was not the one that served food, though. But I was not happy. Say, these people don't have respect. How can they serve a man of God like this with food with plastic plates? Eh? And he was eating it very well, which he didn't even remember that it was plastic plates. Because to him, the essence of plates is to contain food. Have you ever eaten food from a plate and after you say, this plate is too wonderful, I must eat the plate also? Brothers that God helped. When I made up my mind to go down to the potter's house, it was as if I was going down. I was actually going down. You don't know what that means? Eh? In the church, I have my own special seat. Ophosre. While others are sitting on plastic seats, me, I sit on Ophosre. And you have your own mic, not general mic. It's not this one, carry and talk, you give me. No, you have your own. And you went down to the potter's house. And they have a roaster. When it is your turn to go and cook in the kitchen. Hey, you don't understand. Your turn to go and cook. Eh? And if any of your relations visited, say, I heard that you were staying in this office and he came and he saw you sorting beans. Say, who did this thing to you? What happened to you? That's why, because it first brings a picture of going down. That's why many general overseers are running away from it. I had a meeting with all the Pentecostal ministers in Newe North. They call it fire conference. And when I arrived, I registered. Because we normally come on time. It's what this shaping did in our lives. We don't wait for them to call us on phone and say, where are you? Many wait like that deliberately. Say, driver, stop here. Stop here. Shebi, the meeting is starting by 6. We have to wait here until 6:45. Let them call the first time, call the second time, so that our coming in will look glorious. Don't just appear ordinary. See, So I arrived. I went and registered. And because they have not started, so I was just looking around. And the coordinator, you know, I don't know what, how he managed to go to the registration desk and he saw my name. But among all the people that were walking around the environment, there is no one that looked like the one who will speak in that meeting. But when he changed around, he knew other ones except these two brothers. I went with a brother, these two brothers. So he just summoned courage to come and ask me if I'm Brother Wisdom Eze. Because I didn't look like him. Honestly. So he came and asked, he said, sorry, are you Brother Wisdom? I said, yes. Ha. He said, they put one big office like that. I had another meeting in Owerri. It was Youth International Youth Conference. Actually, it was Brobule they wanted to speak in that meeting. But they didn't know how to get Brobule that he's too engaged. It's not something you plan a meeting in the evening and you go and get him in the morning. It's not like that. Because there are other engagements. So, one of the leaders suggested this to them, said they should look for me. So, when the brother told me, I said, people that are looking for Brobule, he said they should look for me. He said, don't worry. And you know, I don't know why I'm telling this story now. The Lord will help me. Hallelujah. I drove in. That church is at Okigwe Road. Some of you may know Hiren's Chapel. Eh? When I entered the garage where they are parking vehicle, and you know what the devil told me? Say, if this kind of church give you envelope, all your problems will be over. When he said that, the Holy Spirit interrupted and said, don't collect the envelope. I packed my car. And I came to the door. Because I didn't know where to go and stay. So that at least for them to know that I have come. The usher that was standing at the door, I was trying to tell him that I'm the one who is going to speak in this meeting. He looked at me like this. He said, wait here. Wait here. Because he didn't understand what I'm talking about. I said, wait here. I waited. He went and called the youth pastor. He said, there's one man here. He said, he's the one who is going to speak here. So that one now rushed. And said, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Because I was just wearing better cloth. I was just wearing ordinary, you know, normal now, with sandal. So he took me and gave me a seat by the side of the bishop and his wife. And I tell you, brethren, the word of God that came that day was something else. Less than 1 hour message. And even the bishop was moved. He was moved to the point that he started raising money for me. You know, devil. He started raising money. And he started with 5,000. I say, God, what do I do? What do I do? These people have a mindset that if you don't collect it, it means you are denying their blessing. And God said, if they give you that money, tell them that you are sowing it back to this, to the youth force. I said, thank you, sir. But I decided to close my eyes because I didn't want to see the money. 5,000. I closed my eyes. I was hearing noise of people, the way they were trooping for 5,000. I've never seen that kind of, the envelope they came with, I've never seen it since I started preaching. After 5,000, I started with 2,000. I closed my eyes until they packed the money. So, when we finished, he took me like this. We entered his office. He was so excited.
They gave me water I was drinking. So they packed the money in big envelope like this. Big envelope like this. And brought it. I said no. The man was like somebody that was electrocuted. He was standing like this. He went to the bishop and said, he said he's not collecting. Bishop said, come, come, come. He said, what's the matter? I said, I'm sewing it back to the youth purse. He said, Nida, let me pray for you. He started praying again, another prayer again. You know, they were looking, they were like this, looking at me when I was moving, and I didn't have fuel in my car. And there was no money in my pocket. No, it has happened like that several years. When we are going, we go not knowing how we are going to come back. But God will always bring us back. He brought me back that day. Before we arrive at Akokwa, the news has spread in Owerri. They have called our leader in Owerri, say, we have never seen this kind of thing before. Others will come and raise money, even when you didn't ask them to raise money. They will raise for themselves and raise more for the church. But what did that? The encounter at the potter's house. Are we together? Oh, praise the Lord. After that minister's conference, one of the general overseers from Newi invited me to his office and I went. He said, whenever you see an Igbo person doing well, that is always excited. I said, thank you, sir. When he finished, he brought out an envelope. I said, sir, you are a father. It's not your money that I need. I need your prayer. He looked at me like this. He said, okay, let's go to the church. I followed him to the church. He said, I should kneel down at the altar. I kneel down. Many people have prayed. They have laid hand on this head, though. Hallelujah. He prayed for me. And he started inviting me to their national convention where they have a camp in Asaba. He started inviting me there. There's another one. If I tell you a story now, we won't go. Let me leave that. I know you like story. Hallelujah. But I'm not a storyteller. Story makes me to leave my message. So I'll return to my message. Hallelujah. Are we together? But why did I bring this story? Many preachers, because of what the potter will do to you at the potter's house, many are afraid because it will always look as if you are going down. But I tell you, going to the potter's house is not actually going down. You are going up. Are we following? You are doing what? You are going up. My going to the potter's house has given me access that I would not have had if I had remained a general overseer. I have seen leaders of churches sitting under this ordinary person. I've seen it, which wouldn't have happened. Denominational barrier would have not allowed that. Anyway, by now I should have been a bishop. I know most of my friends are now bishops, so I'm sure they must have confused me to be a bishop too. And the only thing that would have prevented me from being confused is what I'm dealing with. I know it's sounding strange that I use the word confused. It's confused. It's a confusion. I know many of them. And I put a small cap on their head. And when you give them mic to talk, their message has no substance.
No content. I visited one. And I was just looking at the whole congregation. I was looking for one soul that has been circumcised. And I will find it difficult to locate one. But that is what a man is dying for. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause my word to come to you. Do you want to be shaped and sharpened? I've not told you what that brother did. I followed him to a meeting. From Abuja, we went to Jos. And in Abuja, he was in hotel room 9. They put me in hotel room 12. I did not even expect that anybody would put me in any hotel room. I was waiting for them to call one brother in the church and send me to his house to squat with him. But they just put me in hotel room 12. And they will give him his own food before they will bring my own. But one of the nights, the person that brought food was in haste, so he dropped the basket in his room. I expected him to just eat and rest more before calling me through the intercord to come and collect the remaining. But do you know what he did? He carried the basket like that to my room. He knocked. When he knocked, I opened the door. Lo and behold, he entered carrying the basket like this, explaining to me what happened. After the explanation, which I was not expecting, he asked me to collect so that he will carry the remaining. Hey, if you look for me that day, you will not find me. My brain started running like this. Running like this. Fia. Do I collect or should I not collect? The Spirit of God came and said, collect. Because if you don't collect, it means you have a wrong heart. It means that if you come to his level, you will not do this thing that he has done. So I collected. He carried the remaining and returned to his room. A 4-day meeting. I have forgotten what he preached. But I have not forgotten what he manifested. The same thing happened when we went to Jos, where he had a meeting with all the senior clergy under Archbishop Benjamin Kwashi. I saw Benjamin Kwashi. We greeted. He asked me, what is your name? I said, my name is Wisdom. He said, you must be a wise man to follow this man. That was his statement. We finished the meeting. We lodged at the bishop's court. They didn't bring food on time. He also came to my room and said, come, I bought some banana. Let's eat together. I came and we're eating. I returned before him because he wanted to see the governor of Plateau States. So I had to return. That's the man I'm talking about. What happened to him? He went to the potter's house. And the potter labored on him. It was discipleship that produced him. Do you know that all these content makers you see on Facebook, they talk about so many men of God. They dig out their mistakes and their errors. But there's only one group of people they cannot talk about. Those who have been at the potter's house. They can't make any content with them because if they dig, they will not dig out any error. Instead of digging out any error, they will dig out a selfless and a man who has laid his life on the altar for others to live. What can you talk about? Men who gather crowd crowd that are willing to give even 1,000 naira as offering, and they will not collect. And they will still feed them. We had a meeting in Aba. I think that was 2007. And we were having, the workers were having meeting to share work. Those that will be in the kitchen, those that will be in the media, those that will be... This brother volunteered to work in sanitation. In sanitation. To flush toilets. And he is the coordinator of 11 states. So you see small boys, they will go and mess up the toilet. And the leader is the one carrying bucket to go and flush it for them. That's why many, when they hear discipleship, they run. But they run to remain useless. Can I inform you, discipleship is not optional. It's not optional. Many church leaders, they hate it. So, what the devil now did, you know what the devil did? He now suggested to them that since it's not discipleship, so turn your own Bible study to what? Call it discipleship. So we are doing discipleship here. One who has not been at the potter's house and he wants to mold men. So when you say, look, I will not come because I want to attend this. I say, the one we are doing here, is it not discipleship? I hope you know what I'm talking about. Most of your churches now, your Bible study has been turned to what? Discipleship. We know. But they are just confusing themselves. Because they do not know that discipleship is not a class. Is a relationship. Even the class we run on a weekly basis is a place of advertising discipleship. It's where we allow people to gather so that we advertise it in case anyone is interested. Jeremiah, arise, go down to the potter's house. There, you will encounter my word. The formation that we are dealing with is only available at the potter's house, at discipleship. When I was in Bible school, the first suit I wore, I bought it on credit. On credit. How can I be a man of God and I don't have suits? Imagine wearing suits on credit. Of course, credit is not a matter before us then. Even the drum set we were playing in my church then, we bought it on credit. And we'll be playing small. Oh, you don't know that most of the churches you see flashing on television, if they tell you how much they're owing banks, you will not believe. If they tell you how much they're owing, loans they have taken, you will not believe. It's only in this potter's house that we wait on God's provision and we use what he has provided and we turn our back from what he didn't provide. Hey! When we were planning for this meeting, when you look at few of us that we are planning, most of us are students. Some even to come for planning meeting, the transportation, Okada, maybe 500 naira they don't have. And we say budget of about 2 million naira. And we are not going to task anybody. We only gather together to pray. We gather together to pray. And in our platform, WhatsApp platform, I was giving the updates of money that came in. the day it came in. The only thing I omitted is where it came. So even those that were not coming to meeting, they were able to use calculator to calculate how much that has arrived. On daily basis, even while we are still in this meeting, I was still updating the money that was coming in. Arise! Go down to the potter's house. Discipleship is not just another ministry, another fellowship. You know, say when you were invited, say no. We have activities in our church. Thank God. It's because you do not know. I used to take bread and say, look, that's one subtle thing again. Because anybody that is consistent in discipleship for 1 year, we know Bible. Are we following? He will know Bible. But the mistake is that he will think that he has grown because he has known Bible. And one thing with churches is that once then all the disciples that God has brought under us, all of them, they are seriously engaged in all their churches. Even those that are students, once they get there, there's none of them who is not a leader of in one fellowship in the school. No, none of them. And some of them that do not know may think that since they are engaged in their churches, that discipleship should be excused. One thing with discipleship is that discipleship allows a man to be himself until he's no longer willing to be himself. Then his discipleship will begin. So when you come and say, well, I didn't come to class because our pastor just finished Bible study that day and I'm the one teaching, I say, it's all right. I'll be waiting for you at the other side. Because very soon what you carry will finish. And I will wait for you at the other side where you will fall empty. If there's this space. Because when this brother was living on nature, where he was living at Owerebo, his flat became a hostel. I think for sisters. Another brother who was living in opposite flat, his own flat became a hostel for brothers. That was a man that stayed for almost 9 years. Those that said, I'm coming. When they heard that he was going, they now rushed. They think that discipleship is what you collect by rushing. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. There's a place of formation, a place of shaping, a place of sharpening. Even Adam was made in a place. Moses was made where? In the house of who? Jethro. That brother, when he landed, he didn't ask him. That's one thing with discipleship. He didn't ask him, can I see your credentials so that I will know where to employ you. And say, you'll be prince, Abi. And everybody will bow him. Prince Mose. For where? He made him a herdsman, a cattle rearer, a man that was mighty in words and in deed. Maybe he has PhD in mass communication. Why should you recruit him to be going about with sheep that will not understand grammar? Does sheep hear grammar? You are not following me again. For 40 years. And he didn't even allow. He had 7 daughters. I don't know whether he had sons or what. Bible told us he had 7 daughters. And he didn't allow Moses to make a choice. He carried one Zipporah and said,
take, this is your wife.
No wonder Bible said that Moses was content dwelling with him. He was content for 40 years. And God came and said, come now, therefore, and I will send you. Come now. Now, therefore, and I will send you. Before he came to the potter's house, he already had a sense of mission. He knew what God called him to do. But he was not ready for it.
He wanted to lead men when he has not led animals. And God says, it's not like that. You have to go and lead animals before you can lead men.
40 years. And the report in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1 is that he led and he kept his father's in-law's sheep. You see the two words, leading and keeping. Despite the nature of those animals, how they behave, and he didn't kill them. One man misbehaved one day and he hit him and killed him and buried him. And when he reported at the potter's house, he developed a life that could accommodate the behavior of animals without killing them. And God said, now you are ready. You can come now. Let me send you. Potter's house is not optional. In case you are here, he said, God has come into a ministry. If you are not coming from the potter's house, you will soon enter into the ministry of murdering people, killing. Something happened to us, and it's still happening to us. That's why you see us behaving the way we are behaving. Shebi, you saw me how I was running, helping to connect things and running up and down. It's normal. It does not reduce anointing. Are we together? Eh? We had a meeting in my town, and I was the one who is going to preach. And I came so early, and the whole auditorium was littered with so many things. I carry broom. I'm the speaker. There was another brother who came there who was around, but he was registering. I didn't tell him to come and join me to sweep. The only way to tell him is for me to start sweeping. And he left his table and he came and joined me. Here in Akogwa, there was a time we were having ministers' discipleship class at Methodist Church, close to Matam Abilis. And one day I came so early. There's one man of God, they call him Apostle. And if you see him, you see Apostle. And I came, Apostle also came. I cannot tell Apostle to sweep the hall. I carry broom. And I'm the one that Apostle has come to sit under. I'm the one who is going to teach Apostle. And I'm the one sweeping the hall. And Apostle knew that there's no way he will wait for me to come to where he is and he will lift his two legs for me to sweep. So he also went and carried the broom. It did not reduce the unction of that teaching that day. Instead, it increased it. Listen, no matter what God called you to do, if you are not coming from the potter's house, very soon, you forget that the meaning of minister is a servant. And you think that a minister is a lord. So you have one who is carrying your water, and one who is carrying your handkerchief, and one who is carrying your microphone, and the security man who is standing like this in case any brother will come close to you. The potter's house is the place of formation. You know, Moses was returning. He returned with a stick. How he crossed the border,
is still a mystery.
And he entered into the Pharaoh's palace and said, let us say the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Without observing protocols. And nobody dared to arrest him. What about Elisha? Do you remember Elisha? I will soon pray. You remember Elisha? Who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Elijah came. Remember what God told Elijah? Return from the way. Or the wilderness, or is it Damascus? Say, go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking that when he found Elisha, he would just carry a bottle of oil and do what? Pour it on his head and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you a prophet in my room? And Elisha will become a prophet. For where? When he found Elisha, he cast the mantle, a signal, go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house. And Elisha left his yoke of oxen and ran to him and said, you know, you remember what he said? Say, permit me to go back home to say bye-bye to those at my house. And then I will follow you. What did Elijah say to him? Go back again. For what have I done to you? Emphasis on the word to you. Ever before God will do something for a man and with a man, he will do something to that man. We are not talking about God doing something with you. I know that's what many of us want. We want God to do something with you, but he has not done something to you. Say, go back again, go back again. She has. That's how heaven normally tells those in ministry. Go back again, go back. Because heaven has not done anything to you. You don't have the evidence of God's dealing in your life yet. Go back. And Elisha went back. When he returned back, what did he do? He took a yoke of oxen. He didn't go to buy cow. Do you know the cost of a trained yoke of oxen? Or do you think you use every cow to plow? No, there's some cow that you bring that will turn and smash you and scatter your farm. Trained oxen. You know, one British bulldog can buy one truck of a cookie. One British bulldog that can go to market and buy tomato and bring it back. The cost of it can buy a cookie. You know a cookie? Oh, you don't know a cookie? Sorry. One cream with it. Oh, you see those small dogs, the tail will be like this, my finger, and the stomach will do like this, and the eyes will be wide. When you come crazy, yang, yang, yang. The cost of one British bulldog can buy a truck of a cookie. In the same way, a yoke of trained oxen can buy 10 cows. Why didn't he go and buy a cow since he's doing celebration? If he had done that, the people would not have understood the message. They would have thought that the man just wants to throw a party. But when he took a yoke of profitable oxen and slaughtered it, they say, but why? Say, I'm done with this. They watched him go. And Bible says he ministered to whom? What does it mean of ministered? He served him. He served him. Elijah never even sent him to go and preach anywhere. In fact, when Jehoshaphat was asking about somebody, They said there's a prophet here. He said, which prophet? He said, the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Ah! He said, let's go to him. The word of the Lord is with him. Excuse me. Who are you pouring water on his hands? Yet you want to carry the word of God. So let's go to him. So the summary of all that Elisha did for 13 years was what? Pouring water. You know the meaning of pouring water? When you want to eat food, you will pour water. A man that had 12 tractors, 12 yokes of oxen, imagine the acres of land that he had. How can you recruit him into pouring water on your head because you want to eat for 13 years? Actually, that was the great journey before Elijah. When the angel said, arise and eat, for the journey ahead of you is great. It was not trekking from there to Mount Horeb. No. It's the journey of raising this farmer into a prophet that will take 13 years. That was the great journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about Ruth? I have no time. We celebrate Ruth that, he's the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. He or she also went down to the potter's house under Naomi. Naomi. And Naomi said something to her that didn't sound reasonable and it was risky. He said, Shebi, Boaz, your kinsman, is, there's a word Bible talk, he said, is he wallowing me wheat tonight at the farm? Wash yourself. Dress properly. Anoint yourself and go down. I say, Abba, at night. If you didn't wash at night, who will know that you didn't wash? If you rub pomade at night, who will know that you rub pomade? Ruth would have queried that instruction. Say, Mama, I know old age is worrying you. If I'm going there at night, why do I need to wear better new clothes? Because who will even know whether my cloth is dirty or not? She obeyed. I will stop here. Because of our time. But let me ask you. Are you a disciple? Some of you, you only attend a program like this, you know, where we tap anointing. Some ministers that do not understand what we're dealing with, when they hear that a monkey is coming and he's going to have ministers' session, because we're living in a terrible generation, a generation that normally anoints themselves, they will go and buy olive oil. So that if the man of God pray, they will open it and do what? Anoint themselves. Sometimes they will even fall on the ground. But after falling, they will rise. Whatever that look like anointing cannot last. Anointing you did not grow cannot last. If you jam anointing, you will fall. You know what I'm dealing with? Saul Kish. You remember Saul Kish? He was looking for his father's ass that was lost and he jammed anointing. How did he end? A demon-possessed man. That his servant said, behold now, an evil spirit troubled you. What about Jehu? Jehu was in the company of reckless friends. A company that had no regard for men of God. When the servant of Elisha came and said, who is Jehu here? He
He said, yes, I'm Jehu. He said, come inside, come inside. He entered. He opened the horn of oil and said, pour it on his head. I said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you king over his people? How did he end?
But for the third man, Elisha, 13 years.
And as I read my Bible, I'm yet to see where olive oil or granite oil was poured on his head. Yet he was anointed. So I now realize that go and anoint a man does not always mean pour oil on his head. It could mean when God brings you into discipleship, that is another way of saying, go and anoint this woman. Are we together?
Even the disciples, all of them, God took them from nowhere. And look at Elijah. Look at Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 2, when God was going to take Elijah to heaven, he said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has asked me to do what? To go to Bethel. He said, as the Lord God liveth, and as your soul liveth, I will not leave you. When they arrived at Bethel, there were these sons of prophets that were in Bible school. You know Bible school. I don't condemn Bible school, but let me inform you. I had a meeting in Newe. There's a Bible school there owned by one denomination like that. And when I came, those that were convocating and those that were doing matriculation, what do they call it? They marched and sat like this. And they gave me mic. I said something that the general overseer and the rector didn't like. But because I am not his servant, are you following me? So I'm not subject to what he likes and what he doesn't like. So I told them, I pointed at the rector, I said to the student, this is the man who is graduating you today, not God. As for God, he's offering you admission form to where he makes his men. They didn't like what I said, but I told them the truth. So the Bible students at Bethel, when they saw Elijah and Elisha, they came to Elijah and said, do you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master from your head? He said, I know, hold your peace. Confused Bible students. They moved to Jericho, the same thing happened. And when their prophecy came to pass, they were the same people that came to Elisha and said, let's go and check. Maybe the angel dropped him somewhere. Let's go and check. Confused. And I was wondering. So when God was waiting for 13 years of a man he brought to the potter's house, there were good number of sons of prophets in Bethel, in Jericho, in Jordan. Why didn't he pick one of them to replace Elijah? Are you a disciple? Are you attending discipleship class anywhere where you are? Or you think those disciple people? You are the one postponing your manifestation. Your delay in responding to discipleship is a postponement you are doing against your manifestation. I encourage you, as you are returning from here, I hear God saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. There you will encounter me. The word of God is God himself. I will stop here. I wanted to talk about the purpose, but let's get this formation first. Then we can come back next time to talk about the purpose. We can't just be talking about as now age go down where to an Ajuwa in one area. Oh, yeah? Let's get our new way before Ajuwa in a require new way. Let's arise and go down to the potter's house. And let me say this again. In case you are already attending discipleship class and it has become a routine, can you take another retreat? In case you are attending, but you are just, when you are 20 minutes late and you are not running, you need to take a retreat for God to give you fresh vision about what you are attending. When you miss a class and it didn't touch you, even though discipleship is beyond class, but class is very vital. It's very vital. Arise, go down to the potter's house. In that place where you are, find a discipleship class. But let me say this. There's another group that the enemy has raised that also call themselves disciples of Christ. Devil will always look for a way of bringing a counterfeit of what God is doing. But my encouragement for what I would advise you to do is before you join any discipleship, find out who is the leader. Are we together? Eh? And if you are in a place where you have peace house, I encourage you to join them. They are genuine. And as you are there, let me also warn you. Let your eyes be on Jesus. If you will not be offended. And if you are living here in Idato here, we have discipleship classes, which we will tell you by the time before we leave. You cannot arise from this meeting and you fail to go down to the potter's house. All that God did in your life from Wednesday till now will be a waste. Will you pray with me? Will you pray for grace to go down to the potter's house for life formation? I have to stop here. Can you rise to your feet as we pray together? Can you begin to talk to the Lord? There's a place where clay is turned and used to make a vessel, a place of formation. A place of formation. Can you say, Lord? When he said to Jeremiah, get up and go down to the potter's house, I'm sure that he helped Jeremiah to locate the potter's house. Can you pray, say, God help me to locate my own potter's house? Whatever engagements that has engaged you in your fellowship or in your church, where your life has not been molded, you will soon run dry. Anybody that succeeded in disconnecting you from the source of your life, aim that killing you. You don't know why they engage you, because they saw little life in you. And you are so senseless that you allow them to disconnect you from where you got that little life they saw that made them to engage you. So when you ask, we didn't see you on Wednesday, we didn't see you on Monday, so we had a prayer meeting, we had a choir meeting, we had a Bible study meeting. I say it's all right. Can you pray? Say, Lord, take me. Maybe you have not been taking your discipleship serious. Let me inform you. The matter of going down to the potter's house is urgent, because there is no potter that have everlasting stay in a particular location. That potter you see, that potter's house you see, that you think anytime you are ready, you may wake up one day only to hear that is no longer there. Jesus said to his disciples, while you have light, walk in the light. While you still have this potter around you, maximize it. How have you been taking your discipleship? How serious have you been taking your discipleship? Or do you think you have grown? Even Brother Bule is still growing, and you like this. That even for you to bring the word of exhortation, we have to give you 1 week notice. But see how relaxed you are. See how arrogant you are. Can you pray? Say, Lord, grant me grace to go down to the potter's house. So this meeting is ending with a call to go down to potter's house. It is actually the formation of your life at the potter's house that will make you an effective soul winner. Because the hook with which you hook men as a fish of men will be a product of God's dealing on your life at the potter's house. In case your pastor who is against discipleship has confused you by starting a discipleship in the church, and he may even make you the teacher of the discipleship, and you say, Yes, you see, in our discipleship class, they don't even allow me to make contribution, but now I am in charge. You will soon be in charge into emptiness. Can you take a decision that I'm going from here? Whatever it will cost me, I will go down to the potter's house. Whatever it will cost me. When I went down to potter's house, no more salary, no allowance. Yet I will ride my motorcycle from Paul to Oka Road every morning, except on weekends. I don't ask anybody, say, give me fuel money. Who will you ask? Even the leader himself is not on salary. So who will you ask to give you money? Becoming a vessel in the hands of God will cost you something. Stop Christianity of convenience. It cannot produce any soul that will go to heaven. Thank you, Father. Can you take your hymn book? Let's take hymn number 12. It's page 13. I don't know how to sing it, but I know that we have people who can sing it here. Kunyemu ume chuku mejuom nanduaho. Can we hug in anya? Ne mekwa uchegi. Sorry, let's start it in one accord. One, two, go. One again. 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 Mm-hmm. for again. Can you pray? Can you pray? Just go to God in prayer. It is time for us to pray. Can you pray? The matter is critical. Can you pray? Elder Patrick, come and help us to pray this time. Please come. You receive grace to go down to the potter's house.
If I were you, this is a crucial matter, even of prayers. If you know what we have asked God to do for us, let a breath of life be breathed upon our lives now. We are asking God that enablement. Who will be able to make us to rise and go down? And go down. And go down. This breath of God will make us to live a life of Christ. It is the breath that will incubate us. This breath will enable us to endure even the process of our makings. Lord, we beg you this moment. Lord, as we are closing this year retreat, Lord, our final request and plea in our lives, kunya yume kendo. Lord, we are begging you, we are pleading with you this moment, Lord, that all that we have been doing since Wednesday, all the time that we have spent shall not be in vain, and also shall not be a slight on you. That you do not waste your energy, your word upon our lives. Lord, we beg you. Lord, we plead with you. Let this willingness be erupt in our lives, in our hearts. Hear our cry of help this great moment. Hear our cry of your lifting us up. Hear our cries of touching our hearts. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Ancient of Days. You have not wasted your time upon our lives. We will arise on this occasion. Lord, we arise and able to engage our lives in what our God has laid down for us. This breath of God upon our lives will make us to shine before we can shout. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you, our Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father, for your great help to us. He did not bring us here not to help us. He brought us to help us. And we have seen your hands upon our lives. Lord, that I allow the heaven to be open and know what is lacking. Right from Wednesday to this moment, Lord. The heaven remain open up our lives, Lord. And we are still pleading with you, Lord. This heaven that has been opened unto us shall not close over our heads. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We know that we will not waste your resources any longer. As we have released from heaven, so shall we abide to do for you, Lord, upon the planet in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please keep standing. What is in your heart? The Lord said, arise, go to the potter's house. Are you taking a decision to respond? Are you saying, I want to be discipled? They said, Lord, I want to be discipled. I want to be discipled. If that is your decision, please join me at this altar. You are saying, I want to be discipled. I want to be discipled. I am not yet a disciple, but I want to be discipled. Though I've been attending discipleship class, but I want to be discipled now. Can you join me at this altar? If that your cloth is not too clean to kneel down, can you kneel down? Though I've been a member of discipleship class, but now I want to be discipled. I want to be discipled. I am submitting now to discipleship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's still waiting for you. I'm still having a witness that there are still some people that should take a decision now. Please, can you come before we pray? Can you come before we pray? Discipleship is a deliberate something. It's a deliberate something. It's not a rational decision. It's not a rational something. It's a conscious something you do consciously. It's possible that you have been attending discipleship class, but you have been taking it casually. Maybe because the person who is teaching the class, you have become too familiar with him. God is giving you fresh vision about discipleship. Thank you, Father. I think we are ready to pray now. In the name of Jesus. Those of you that are kneeling, those of you that are on this altar, please, can you hand yourself over to God and say, deal with me as it's met right unto you. Behold me at your feet. Behold me at your feet. Deal with me as it's met right unto you. Can you make that? It's a covenant that you're entering with God. Is a covenant. Banish every fear. Even if he's asking you that your discipleship will be on the capacity of full time, don't be afraid. He will not waste your life. He didn't waste mine. He will not waste yours. Maybe he's telling you that, look, you are going to leave whatever you are doing that is going to be on full-time capacity. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Lay down that your life. Give it to him. Give it to him. Offer it. Offer it. He will not waste it. Offer it, my brother. My sister, offer it. He will not waste it. He will not waste it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, behold this offering at your altar. These materials, they didn't come out here to catch money or earthly promotions. They have come to lay their lives at the will, trusting that your grace will enable them not to mar. And they're saying that they want their lives to be formed. They are responding to the call to discipleship. The way you called ordinary Peter, a fisherman, and at the end, he became a great vessel. A vessel through whom the gospel entered the Gentiles. Lord, behold them. They have laid as offering at your altar. Some of them, where they are staying, there might not be any discipleship class around. They may spend much to transport themselves to where they can get this potter's house. Lord, I pray for grace. Some of them are too engaged even in their denominations that to have space to be incubated will be difficult. But Lord, you grant them grace. I pray that none of them will take back this offering they have laid at your altar. Lord, collect them. Those that you are asking to submit for full time, Lord, grant them courage to do so. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, let your spirit take over. Let your spirit take over. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Ancient of Days. For in Jesus' name we pray.